When I was little, my dad and I always enjoyed cooling off after a long, hard day's work by going inside, grabbing a glass of sweet tea, and playing video games. Whether it was NCAA football 2004, NASCAR, or Mario Kart, you could constantly find us behind our PS2 controllers just gaming away. In my dad's era, however, arcades were the biggest gaming buzz. Classics like Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, and Space Invaders filled arcades everywhere. And kids would line up to drop in their tokens and play for sport to see their name on the leaderboard. But since then, arcades have changed a bit. Nowadays, they're all about winning the games, earning the tickets, and cashing them all in at the end for that big prize up on the shelf. Just as arcades have changed over time, so has our agriculture industry. Today, farmers can no longer afford to simply play the game for the love of it, or even just to provide food for their families as they could generations ago. Today, farmers rely more than ever on strategy, decision-making, and policy to preserve their livelihood, and in the end, hopefully make it profitable. Thankfully, as today's agricultural arcade features more lights, bells, and whistles than ever before, there are entities working to adapt and even create new markets that allow farmers to cash in those hard-earned tickets for a prize. This new machine in the arcade is called carbon sequestration, and it has everyone lining up and buying tokens. According to the United States Geological Survey, carbon sequestration is the process of capturing and storing atmospheric carbon dioxide, and it is a trending method of reducing the amount of carbon in the atmosphere with the goal of reducing global climate change. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency publishes annual estimates of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions. In 2019, U.S. emissions totaled 6,677 million metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent. Agriculture accounts for 10.5% of those emissions. Farmers, ranchers, and foresters can play a substantial role in bringing down our industry's numbers. In fact, the EPA shows that increases in carbon storages, or sinks, offset 11.6% of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions. Carbon sinks are practices such as no-till or low-till farming, cover cropping, and crop rotation. These are all methods of what is referred to as biological carbon sequestration, or the storage of carbon in vegetation, soils, woody products, and aquatic environments. Soils are said to possess more carbon than vegetation and the atmosphere combined, so it is hugely beneficial when plants and microorganisms are able to capture the atmospheric carbon dioxide and store it in their soils. On the subject of carbon sequestration, United States Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack states that the USDA is working hard to create new carbon market opportunities for farmers. Secretary Vilsack has expressed the potential to use funding through the Commodity Credit Corp, or CCC, to provide what would serve as a carbon bank for farmers. Secretary Vilsack then stated his belief that the CCC's charter actually speaks to the creation of programs such as this one. However, he also acknowledged that the CCC must remain effective in upholding its responsibilities elsewhere. Currently, CCC funds are capped at $30 billion, which includes supporting other USDA programs such as this one. However, Secretary Vilsack also stated that there is significant capacity in the CCC to fund a program like this in the future. In the past few years, agriculturally specific private carbon markets have started gaining traction. In Montana, the Western Sustainability Exchange, in partnership with carbon producer Native Energy, runs the Montana Grasslands Carbon Initiative for Ranchers. The Ecosystem Services Market Consortium, a branch of the Soil Health Institute, is launching a national large-scale ecosystem services market for farmers. And in Europe, the French government is leading the 4 per 1,000 initiative, which encourages farmers to increase the amount of carbon sequestered in their soil by 0.4% a year. Right now in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Carbon Program is encouraging Oklahomans to protect water quality, prevent soil erosion, and improve air quality by applying these methods of carbon sinking in their day-to-day farming practices. However, the companies receiving the most attention are being developed by for-profit groups. Boston-based Indigo Agriculture, and Seattle-based Nori. Ed Smith, vice president of Indigo Carbon, says Indigo has already contracted with several thousand farmers. Together, manage about 7.5 million acres of land. In 2019, Indigo guaranteed $15 per ton of CO2 sequestered with a guaranteed price floor of $10 per ton of CO2 for anyone who enrolled in the program after that. However, the future price of carbon credits remains unknown. Recently, Indigo has started to partner with ag data collection companies such as John Deere's cloud-based system. They also take yearly soil samples and run carbon modeling on 5 to 10% of their contracted fields while collecting over a trillion data points. These data points are only legally allowed to be used to develop crediting baselines, assess greenhouse gas levels, and inform payment, according to Smith. Forming a more farmer-friendly, large-scale carbon market is the focus of the 62 diverse organizations that came together to form the Ecosystem Services Market Consortium, or ESMC. In 2022, ESMC will transition out of its soft launch and introduce a new market aimed toward reducing the costs of middlemen in the carbon marketing process. Organizations that have signed on with the ESMC are diverse and range from agricultural manufacturers to commodity organizations, such as the National Corn Growers Association and the American Soybean Association, to non-government organizations such as the World Wildlife Fund and the Nature Conservancy. Executive Director Debbie Reed says that the ESMC is working closely with government administration on possibly providing a program for pre-existing practices. And therefore, farmers are rewarded for their valuable contributions, regardless whether those can be sold in a market or not. In today's agricultural arcade, farmers are narrowing their aim for those elusive bullseye rings in the upper corners of the skee ball machine, shooting for 1,000 tickets, Tower of Tickets, and diligently pushing coins into the coin pusher, waiting that rewarding sound as coins crash to the bottom. In other words, farmers are upping their game, implementing new practices that not only enhance their farms via sustainability, but also financially through carbon sequestration. And although there are no perfect prize counters just yet, agricultural carbon markets are up and coming. Private markets, industry consortiums, and the USDA continue to promote a greener tomorrow that puts more green in farmers' pockets. Thank you.
Hi, Caleb.
Hi.
First question for you is, what do you see as the biggest barriers for farmers and ranchers when it comes to adoption of climate smart practices?
Simply, the biggest challenge I see in regards to farmers getting involved in these biological carbon sequestration methods is simply advocacy for them. Now, I know that's not a direct financial barrier, but as far as farmers I know of who are actually involved in these, it's because they've been advocated for in their home state. I think that we can really increase this advocacy for farmers using biological sequestration methods by getting colleges involved and getting the government involved in an organization like this, which is why I think it is so crucial we are able to establish a national bank through this new deal coming up in 2024. I was talking to my Congressman Frank Lucas the other day, and he said that in this next new deal, they could potentially set off a section or a percentage of that $30 billion cap within the CCC to fund a national carbon bank. And I think, personally, that if we could encourage that within our colleges and within our state governments through our state secretaries of agriculture, such as Oklahoma's Blaine Arthur, and them really advocating for that product, this thing would light up.
Caleb, since U.S. agriculture is just one piece of the climate change puzzle, is there any indication that carbon sequestration could serve as a catalyst for other industries and countries to follow suit?
Absolutely. I think that we have a huge opportunity right now in the United States to set a precedent for other countries all around the world to follow as far as biological carbon sequestration methods go. Now, I know in my speech, I really only talk about the crop sector of carbon sequestration, but there's also the livestock sector. Recently, in Oklahoma, Seaboard Farms, the largest swine-producing company in Oklahoma, fifth largest worldwide, has partnered with Continental Energy and the government in California to ship the carbon sequestered from their swine operation in a pipeline directly to California, which will then be converted into biofuels that they can use to run their company. This goes to various manufacturing companies in California that do not wish to disclose of their name. These companies are then paying Seaboard Farms and Continental Energy for this partnership in the biofuels that they are being able to produce. And I think that if we are able to establish more things like this on a national basis and establish a national bank, I had mentioned in the previous question, we have an incredible opportunity to set a precedent as far as keeping things sustainable and also earning farmers more money for practices that they are already doing.
Caleb, you mentioned the use of CCC funds for a carbon bank, but it also has some funding limitations and other responsibilities. What are some of the other competing uses for CCC funds?
Yes, sir. So about 40% of what the CCC has been used for this past year are things on a year-to-year basis. One example is the wildfires out in California this past year. Much percentage of the money from the CCC has gone to helping in that condition. Another one, about another 40% of it, I think it's 38 is the exact number, but goes to helping our national parks. Those are the two big ones. There is actually a program established through the CCC that works all the way down from the national government to your state legislature, down through your local county commission agent, which supports carbon sequestration methods. And so I think that if we're able to increase the capacity used on that, it'd be huge.
Yeah, Caleb, you said that Indigo was starting to get into the game of carbon.
Yes, sir.
And selling. And they established a floor of $10. Do you believe this is a fair price for farmers?
Yes, sir, I do. On average, people that are enrolled in this Indigo Carbon Company make anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 extra to what they're already producing in yield a year simply by being enrolled in this carbon sequestration programs. This obviously varies depending on how much land you're farming and what biological carbon sequestration methods you're working with. But on average, I think it's very worth it and very fair to the farmer, simply because this is a pretty big price range and it's extra on top of what they're getting for doing things that they're already promoting.
Caleb, as there are lots of companies entering into the carbon market, are you seeing any possible legislation to draft some consistency in how the payments to farmers are created?
So the two companies I mentioned, Indigo and Ori, which are really the two largest in terms of a biological carbon sequestration method nationwide that is available to farmers, those, I think, are sustainable on their own. But if we were able to establish something through the national government, through the Secretary of Agriculture, in this new deal coming up in 2024, I think that would offer maybe more consistency. Thank you.